Okay, good. If you have a Bible, let's lift your Bible up. Let's see your Bible. Word. Word. Now look what I want to see. Pen. Who got a pen? Raise your pen. All right. Pen. How many people in here are in high school? Raise your hand. High school. Okay. How about college? How about other? Okay. If you're in college, here's what I want you to listen. School starts, I know you hate to hear this, say like 2 months. When school starts back up again, we are going to hit this campus and other college campuses. We're going to do a series sometime in the fall on the end times and Revelation, all that kind of stuff. And we really want to have small groups on all the campuses in San Diego, especially this campus here. I know there aren't a lot of kids who live here, but still. And I want all of you who are in college or just at a college to be praying about God using you to be facilitating a small group. And if he puts it on your heart, you need to go to Rockhead. You need to start the process now. But we're going to see a lot of kids, or at least we're intentionally going to go after these college kids on this campus and the other campuses. And we're going to need young adults, or if you want to be an older adult and be involved, but specifically y'all that are their peers are a little older, like 23, 24, 25, we're going to need you to step up and say, I want to lead a small group, okay? A lot of freshmen live in these dorms. We need upperclassmen to be teaching in the Bible. So I want you to be praying about that. Now, if you feel like, you know, I want to do that, I'm going to tell you now what to do. You are going to go to Rockhead Training, and you are going to say, I want to be a small group facilitator. That's what you're going to do, okay? That's what you're going to do. So if you feel led to come ask me what you need to do, I'm going to tell you now, you're going to go to Rockhead Training, and if you want to call the office and talk to somebody, you can call the office, the phone number's in the bulletin, and ask to speak to Richard. Everybody say Richard. Say, God bless Richard. Great, because we're going to call him. We're going to call him. We are going to call him. Okay, great. That's very enthusiastic, people. What book are we studying? Everybody say Acts. Everybody say Acts. It is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit acted through the apostles. Okay, you and I don't do anything. God does it through us. Okay, last week we talked about a man named, say Stephen. How many people were not here last week? Where were you? In Mexico, okay, UCLA, okay. Okay, DCL, okay, good, okay. Now you could be found, my daughter. You could be found. Okay, last week we talked about a man named, everybody who wasn't here, say all together, Stephen. 1, 2, 3. Stephen. We are studying the book of? It's the Acts of? Last week we talked about a man named? And Stephen, they killed him because they did what to him? Say stoned. And when you stoned somebody, you picked up the biggest rock you could find and you threw it on them until they were? Okay. Until the twitching stopped, that's where you threw the rocks. Now, what was Stephen's occupation? He was a?
Waiter.
He was a?
Waiter.
He was a waiter. He was a waiter. Stephen was known as the first Christian martyr. He was the first Christian bartender. Stephen was the first Christian martyr, and he was killed by stones. And when you stone somebody, you throw the biggest rock you can find on until they are? Very good. Okay. Today, we are going to talk about a man named Philip. Say Philip. Say Philip. Philip was also one of the seven chosen to be a waiter. He was another waiter. How many people in here ever worked as a waiter, waitress in a restaurant? Man, look, keep your hands up. Okay, keep your hands up. How many people in here ever worked at McDonald's or fast food? No, the waiters hold your hands up and everybody else hold it. So all of y'all know what I'm talking about. You serve food, okay? Jack in the Box, Burger King, In-N-Out. Okay. Turn to Acts chapter 8. How many visitors do we have here tonight? Raise your hand. Very good. Welcome to The Rock. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor. And welcome. Hope you have a good time. I am, as you know, a big fan of nature, animal, plant, all that kind of stuff. And I was watching the television the other day, and there was another show on I'd never seen. It was on camping. And you know how you have the fishing show, and they show the fishing tackle stuff, and I don't watch that. I'm not into fishing. I'm not into camping either, but I don't know why I watched it, and the guy was kneeling down, and he was, well, this is the reason I kept watching it. He was talking about how to build a fire. I like fire. And I built fires in the fireplace. I bought a house maybe 7 years ago, and it had, around the fireplace, had a metal, like a cheap brass, it wasn't brass, it was cheap whatever metal around the fireplace, and I built the fire so hot that it melted this thing. So my kids were like, Dad, build a fire, build a fire. So I build a fire, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna build a fire, build a fire. And the fire is so hot, it's coming out of the fireplace, and we're across the room like this going, ah! Like the building real, real big, hot, roaring. And I'm, yeah, there's a fire right there, there's a fire. So this guy was talking about how to build a fire in the woods, in the wilderness, which, you know, I went to the wilderness once and did a 25-hour solo. And I brought my 3-hour Duraflame log. Just one match, boom, done. So they were talking about how to build a real fire. So what they had was they had a match. Let me, where's my pen at? They had a match. Let's say this pen was the match. Okay, put it in the camera. Y'all see that? And if it was a pe- if it was a match, only this blue part. Can you see the blue part? Would be the red part. And the red part would be the brown part. So this would be the part. So let's make it real. There's the brown part. Comes in handy sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Here's the brown part. And let's say the blue part was the match part. And if you were going to strike it, you would just go, poosh, and this whole blue part would go up in flame, right? Well, in this match, this guy had never seen a match like this before. The brown part was only this long, and the blue part was all of this. So when you flicked it, the flame went. All the way without the in part. It just went straight. And it took like a minute. And he says, if you're ever out in the windy, you know, in the wilderness and the wind is blowing and you can flick this match and it would just burn and you can make your fire. I was like, hey, and they had a box of 25. He said, you get the box 25. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, pretty cool, right? Then he says, now if you don't want to go the match route, there's another way. And he brought out a metal spike, like a nail, but it wasn't a nail, but it was like about this long. And then he had another metal thing like flint. And he took this metal thing and flicked it on the flint. And when he flicked it, these sparks went psh, psh, psh. And he says, if you want to make a fire this way, you get the leaves and stuff and you flick it and the sparks will go in and make the fire. I was like, that's dumb. It's like caveman, right? So he says, and if you really, and this, then, but that was only part one. The other part was he had this little plastic container, like a tube like this, and he opened up the top, and inside he had cotton. It was full of cotton, and the cotton, he pulled out a little piece, and he started to fluff the cotton out, and what he had done was he took petroleum jelly and mushed it in the cotton, and then he took it out, and the petroleum jelly was all in the cotton. Then he fluffed it out, and he says, because petroleum jelly is flammable, when you light the cotton, it's going to burn for like 5 minutes. So he fluffed the cotton out that had the petroleum jelly in it. He put it on the ground. He took the flint and the flicker, and he flicked it. And when he flicked the flicker, the sparks went one flick. Whoosh, and this little ball went whoosh, and it burned. What did I went, so, soon as it went off, I went into my room and got some cotton. Some gasoline, you know, some kerosene. It's like, yeah. Whoosh. What he did was he flicked this thing and this little ball of cotton, and he flicked it one time. It was amazing. He just went, and this little ball of cotton burned. He said, it'll burn for 5 minutes. And so then he put some leaves on it. Then he put some sticks on it.
And he says, what you do is you add sticks and leaves a little bit at a time, and you build a fire. You don't make a fire. And that's what stuck in my mind. You don't make a fire. You build it, and you add on it. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Here's what God wants to do. God wants to do in you. He wants to build a fire. Now, there's a little fire there when you get saved. You ask the Holy Spirit to come in you, and it goes, poosh. That's like that little flick. And it's a little boo. But that fire can go, or it can go, you have to decide. But what happens is once you get the little flame going, then you build it with little sticks, little leaves. The best thing are the brown pine needles that come off a tree. If you ever go into pine trees and you see this brown, you get that stuff, it's like, it's almost as good as gasoline. You light it and it goes whoosh. And so you put that on top, and then it builds, and you put little sticks on top, bigger sticks, and you build, 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 build. What I want to talk to you today about is building that fire. Six things that a person on fire for God has. Six things that if you say, I'm going to do these six things, that fire, and these aren't the six, they just are a six things. Okay? Turn to chapter 7, verse 60, the last verse, which is right before the first verse in chapter 8. Are you with me? I know some of y'all thinking, why is he telling the story about the fire? Okay, last week we talked about a man named, and he was killed by what? Look at verse 60. It says, he knelt down, verse 60 of chapter 7, he knelt down, cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Verse 1 of chapter 8. Now Saul, everybody say Saul. Saul's name was later changed to? Paul, the apostle Paul, was this Saul. Watch what kind of person he was. Saul was consenting or agreeing or overseeing Stephen's death. Saul was persecuting Christians. At that time, a great persecution arose in the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles stayed there, but everybody else ran. Now, when things in your and my minds that are bad happen to us and it causes us to change our life, or we get moved over here or changed over here, we have to understand God's in control. God is involved in that. Look what happened. When the church got persecuted, I'm sure they were praying, Lord, stop the persecution. God was saying, this is how I'm going to get y'all to move around. The good that came out of it was all the Christians scattered and ran from the persecution, and they took the gospel with them. Wherever God sends you, you have to understand that God is sending you with the gospel. You need to take the gospel with you. Look what it says in verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, Saul's name was changed to? No trick question. Same guy. Everybody say Paul. He made havoc for the church. He made havoc for the church. Saul did. Look what it says. Entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. This is the Apostle Paul before he got saved. I was in a school, Philadelphia, years ago, and I was doing, I went for a whole week of assemblies. I did one school a day. We'd speak two, three, four, five, one time, seven times in a school. And then we do after-school pizza rally, and we get people saved. And I was on a Thursday, so I had been there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I was real tired, and I was walking through the hall like this. And this teacher was sitting in the hall. She says, son, can you come here? And I said, you talking to me? And I bent over like this. She says, yes, can you come here, son? And I'm walking over and say, you talking to me? Are you talking to me? She said, yes, come here, son. And as I got closer to her, this little Puerto Rican guy standing next to her. And as soon as I get to her, he says, yo, man, when you're in the hallway, you need to pass. I said, who are you talking to? I'm talking to you, man. Get some respect for the lady. When you're in the hallway, he started yelling at me. He's like this big, and he's pointing up at me like this. I go, how old do you think I am? He says, you're 18 and she's 30, and get some respect for the lady. I said, yo, man, if she's 30, I'm older than her, and I got a son 4 years old, he's bigger than you. The whole time this dude's yelling at me, I'm thinking, man, if this brother could get saved. You know, when you see people who are wild in the world, crazy, doing crazy stuff, those are the people that a lot of times when they get saved, they are that extreme for God. You know, God's like this with those kind of people. You know, a lot of us who, a lot of other people who are like ho-hum about life, you know, God's like this with getting them saved. But you know what God hates the most is people who are ho-hum about him. He says, if you're going to be ho-hum about being a non-Christian. I don't want you to be ho-hum about me. I want you to be on fire for me. Either be hot or cold, but if you're warm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Make me puke. Be one or the other. Okay? This dude, I found out later, was a Christian. This little kid. And he says, man, I was going to hit you. I was going to hit you, but the Lord held me back. The Lord held me back. He's like Paul. He was on fire. He's passionate. And that's what Paul was. Paul was passionate about Judaism when he thought Christianity was wrong, so he was arresting people, having people killed. And next week, we're going to look at how he got saved and how he got on fire for God. Look what it says in verse 4. Look what it says. Everybody say, therefore. Say, therefore. Now, listen closely. Whenever you see therefore, we're going from the theoretical to the practical. Everybody say practical. You're going from the theoretical to the? That means that someone says, in theory, this is true. Therefore, this is going to happen. Okay? You go out of the house. You go to school. Your breath stinks. Therefore, no one's going to want to talk to you for a long time. Okay? That's the theoretical to the practical. Okay. Look what it says. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then, everybody say Philip. What was Philip's job? Everybody say waiter. Watch what this waiter did. Went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Point number one, someone who's on fire for God, they will have supernatural boldness in the word. Write that down in your notes. You got your bulletin. You got a place in there for notes. If you got a pen, supernatural boldness in the word of God. If you are on fire for God, you got to be talking about God. Raise your hand if this ever happened to you. You went to share your faith or share the gospel with somebody or share a verse. You opened your mouth and you went, ah. How's the weather today? Anybody? Come on, raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. Yeah, you know it. You got scared. You got scared. You said, so what were you going to say? What do you think? There was a young lady last week. She goes to church here, and she went to see a family member in the hospital. He was semi in a coma. And she wanted to share her faith with him, the gospel with him before he died. And she was so scared. She said, Miles, even though he was unconscious, I mean, he could kind of tell people there, but he was, you know, his eyes were closed and he can kind of respond. But she said it was even hard then. She did it. But the reason it's hard is because it's a spiritual battle. It's a spirit. Devil doesn't want you talking about God. The devil doesn't want you quoting scripture. He doesn't want you memorizing scripture. He doesn't want you telling people what the Bible says. You should try to catch yourself all day saying, the Bible says, the Word of God says, it says in John, it says in James, it says in Matthew. See how many times you say that during the day. That will tell you how often you talk about God's Word. What does the Bible say? Let me say, someone on fire for the Word of God knows this book. When the devil saw Eve in the garden, she was all by herself, she was naked, you know the story, and the devil said, yo, baby, what's your name? Come over here, I want to talk to you. She said, how you doing? She said, listen, did God say you can't eat from a tree? Well, he said you can't eat it or touch it. Let me tell you something. The devil says, she said you can't eat it or touch it lest you die. The devil said, you're not going to die. God lied to you. God said, God doesn't want you to eat it because he doesn't want you to be like him. If you don't know the Bible for yourself, the devil will tell you. And he will tell you his version of the Bible. He will write other books and fake Bibles and additional books to the Bible to confuse you from what the truth is. That's where cults come from. They don't make something out of nowhere. They take the truth and distort it. That's the devil's best plan. If I could take anything close to this and make a counterfeit, I can get a whole bunch of folks to believe it because it's just like the truth. But these little differences will get them right to hell. It's the devil's plan. He's a mastermind. He's not going to tell you, listen, don't believe in that Bob Jesus. You don't believe in him. Believe in this. He's going to say, oh, yeah, just believe in this. It'll take a little further away. And believe in this. It'll take a little further away. You got to know what this book says. God is not a God of confusion. He wrote one book, and he had one son. Made it very simple. He didn't write this book, then wrote another book that contradicts this book, then wrote another book that contradicts both those books. He does not do that. He wrote one book, and it's right here. People who are on fire for God know God's word, and they speak God's word. People on fire for God got God's power. Have you ever noticed the evidence of God's power in your life? Write that down. Supernatural power in your life. Supernatural power in your life. If you are seriously burning for God. Verse 9, let me say this to you, read this to you. There was a man called Simon who was previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with sorceries for a long time. Sorceries, divination, astrology, magic. You guys read your horoscopes? Not of God, of the devil. Ooh, you read the horoscope, your daily horoscope, don't read that trash, read this book. You go to tarot cards, you go to psychics on TV, it is of the devil. There is nothing of God in it. It is Satanism right in your face. They are lying to you, they are demonic, period, end of story, no compromise. So all that stuff is wrong. But the you pay $19.95, got some smiley girl there. I want to tell you your love life. I want to tell you, I'll tell you whatever you want to hear. I'll tell you that. Oh, yeah, you so beautiful, girl. You're going to be in Hollywood. Just give me your money. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. It's all the devil. What else do you want to go? Drugs, pharmakia, from the word sorcery. When you take drugs, you open up yourself to demons. You open up yourself to demonic possession. The devil is a mastermind. If you can go and see the devil's ammunition, you will be amazed at the stuff as extreme as heroin to something as so innocent as another religion that you might think is Christian, that you were baptized in as a baby. Something so innocent. Let me tell you something. God is very, very simple. So this guy was a sorcery. And it says, verse 11, they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now this guy was into magic, and he got his popularity by magic and by supernatural stuff. And by the way, the devil is supernatural and can do supernatural things, absolutely. But just because it's supernatural don't make it right. So if you want to mess with him, he'll jack you up. So this guy was all into that. And it says in verse 14, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria, who were considered second-class citizens, had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Holy Spirit, had not fallen upon them. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw through the laying on of hands of the apostles, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power so that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Verse 22, repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. Everyone say power. Say power. God has offered you and given you power. First evidence of that power is when you ask him to you receive him as your savior, and he forgives you and renews your mind. You don't think the things you used to think. You don't desire the things you used to desire. You don't look at life the way you used to look at life. You think about verses every now and then. That is God. That is God's power. Now that you can be a changed person, that is not you making a decision to change. It is you making a decision to submit to the power of God, which changes you. Now, the reason it's very important for you to acknowledge that is because if you can every day say to yourself, you know, I'm doing this because of God's power in my life. I'm thinking this because of God's power. I'm able to forgive because of God's power. I'm able to pray in a public place because of God's power. I mean, you ever go into a grocery store and you're like, it's so bright. You ever notice that grocery stores are very bright? We just go 7-Eleven. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven is bright. I know there's some psychology behind the brightness. I guess you spend more money when you can see. I don't know what it is, but you go into a grocery store and it's like, whoosh. It's like, you know, there's angels in there going, welcome to the kingdom. And everything's bright. The floors are white. The lights are bright. Well, I was in there one day, and this lady came in, and she had cancer. And I was with my wife and my kids. And you know what? When you're in a grocery store in a bright place in the middle of this big area, would you pray for somebody there? Well, let's go over here in the corner. You don't want nobody to see it. Go over here by the Cheerios. You know what I'm saying? Make sure no one's coming. Forget that mess. I got power. At least I have the power enough not to worry about what people are going to think. That's power right there. That's power right there. And you have to ask yourself, what is the evidence? Write this down in your notes. What is the evidence of God's power in your life? What's the evidence? You ever encourage anybody? You ever pray for somebody and pray for something and it happened? You ever use a gift of healing, a gift of encouragement, a gift of teaching? That's God's power. What are your spiritual gifts? God's power is exercised through your spiritual gifts. Monday, I told you last week who was here, whoever was here, that I was going to speak Monday past up in L.A. at the convention center, and Kirk Franken was going to sing before him. Oh, we were on the same night. I didn't know before or after me. Come to find out, he sang right before me. Did an incredible job. And I'm standing there going, man, this is great. Everyone's dancing. The kids are all excited. I'm thinking, this is really good. But this is also really bad because I got to go up next. And all these 8,000 kids are just, you know, just having an off-the-wall time. And he had to think half an hour. Well, I have to come up and speak for a half hour after him. And my sermon was one of, bam, you know, challenging them, getting in the face, boom, boom, boom. And the devil's telling me, they ain't going to want to hear what you have to say. Man, they're having fun. You're going to take all the excitement out of it. You're going to bum them out. You're going to do this. They ain't going to listen to you. They're going to walk out, throw eggs at you, and all that kind of stuff. I was like, shut up, shut up. But the fact of the matter is it ain't about me. I'm like, Lord, you got to get their attention. You got to speak to them. You got to speak to touch their heart. You got to convert their mind. I can't do that. Let me tell you something. I can't trust in my experience. I can't trust in my ability to be funny or to tell stories. I have to trust in the Holy Spirit. Because it's getting louder. He's a visitor. Okay. I guess the visitors didn't hear the announcement. Anybody other visitors didn't hear the announcement? Okay, please turn your phones off. If you have something to talk about, we can go in the lobby and talk about it. I have to trust in the Holy Spirit to go, can't trust in me. That's, for me, if that's my gift, then that's where the power flows. And this gift, other gifts that I have, that's where the power flows. You have to say, where does God's power flow to my life? If you don't know that, find out. Find out. You need to be looking. God, does my power flow through counseling? Does my power flow through administration? Does your power flow through me serving people, helping people, teaching, prayer, healing? What is it? 1 Corinthians 12 talks about all the gifts of God. Read about all the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and say, which one do I have? Which one do I enjoy doing? Which one do I see supernatural results? Not results, supernatural results. Supernatural results. Whenever I speak someplace, I expect supernatural results. I went to a thing one time and they had like 1,000 kids. I said, how many counselors y'all have? Well, we have 12, I think, no, they had 30 counselors. We want to do one-on-one. I was like, hold on. 30, one-on-one, that means you expect 30 kids to come forward? I was like, listen, y'all got issues, y'all got problems. Because it's going to be more than that. It's going. Let's think about this. God is going to go, and out of these 1,000 kids, you're expecting 3% of them to be saved? Three? That's it? That's all you got faith for? That's all God is? No. You got to expect supernatural results. Y'all got to expect supernatural results in your life. And if you see someone, and here's the thing, if you've never seen supernatural results in your life and you hear someone else talking about supernatural results, you think they're arrogant, you think they're cocky. No, they just seen God. Because God is not little. He don't do insignificant things. Now, I'm not saying if you get one person saved, that's little. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that if you and God have a dialogue and God says, we're going to do this, I'm going to bless you with a great family. And for some of you, that may be you've never seen one before. I'm going to bless you with great kids. You've never seen that before. And for you to say, no, God, I think I'll just, you know, watch TV by myself for the rest of my life. I don't want to believe you for all that. I'll just watch, what's that show, Change of Heart, and just think about all my... I hope none of y'all have ever been on that show, because I don't know what it would take to get a person to go on that show. I'm sorry. Maybe some of y'all been on it. I don't know. But, you know, that's my life. I always get these knucklehead guys, these knucklehead girls, and God says, no, I'm going to bless you with a man. Ladies, I mean, hey. Fellas, I'm going to bust you with a whoa, man. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Can I get an amen for the fellas? Amen. Bring it home. Yeah. Oh, whoa, man. Believe God for that. Don't settle for Megillah. Y'all know who Megillah is? I'm old. Megillah Gorilla, when I was a little kid, there was a little thing called Megillah Gorilla. Y'all. Verse 26. Supernatural leading of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say supernatural leading of the Holy Spirit. Write in your name, has God ever spoken to me? 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 Verse 26, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem and was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet, and the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran and heard him reading the prophet. Here's Philip just dealing with Simon, and God says, go. He goes, sees a guy in a chariot, he says, catch him. He starts running, bam, grabs his chariot, jumps in the chariot, here's the guy reading. He says, what are you reading? Have you ever heard God speak to you? It's a little voice. You know what it sounds like? Your conscience. You ever hear someone tell you a joke, and they tell you a joke, and you're listening, and then the punchline is given, and at first you don't get it, but then something happens in your mind, and you get it? See how the laughter is going in stages? Because people are getting it after... I get it. Well, there was no punchline to what I just said. It wasn't supposed to be funny. It was just a question. Okay, they tell a joke. It's like last week I talked about the old lady who was eating the guy who ate his grandmother's peanuts. If you weren't here, If you weren't here, I'll tell it real quick. Guy goes to see his grandmother. He's real nervous. He ain't seen his grandmother in a long time. She's in a convalescent home. He eats all her peanuts out of nerves. And he goes, oh, grandma, I'm sorry for eating all your peanuts. And she says, oh, baby, that's okay. I don't eat the peanuts. I just suck the chocolate off of them. Okay. How many of y'all told that joke this week? Tell the truth. Hey, look at y'all. Look at y'all. Okay. But here's what happens. You hear that joke, and at first you're going, peanuts, chocolate, gums, dentures. Ew! You put all the pieces together, and you go, ew! What happens is your brain goes through these series of calculations and thought processes. Your synapses, your dendrites and your axons, information goes from one axon over the synapse, which is the space between the two nerves, into the axon, goes down into your brain, and you go, that's funny. What the Holy Spirit does, when I was taught this, sounds good to me. I don't know, it really matters. But what happens is when you're reading the Bible, God supernaturally reveals stuff to you. He reveals stuff to you. He speeds up the process of understanding. He also will put words of knowledge in your brain, stuff you've never known before. He'll just tell you about the person. That person's in pornography. That person is getting ready to go to jail. That person is whatever. He'll tell you stuff you could never know unless God told you. And that is the next point. The next point is God's supernatural guiding in the Word of God. It says in verse 32, the place of Scripture which he was speaking says he was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who would declare his generation? For this life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered and said, Philip, I ask you, whom does a prophet say? Of himself or of another man? And Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Have you ever read the Bible and all of a sudden you're reading and all of a sudden truth just comes alive to you? That's God. God is revealing, illuminating. The Holy Spirit is the illuminator of truth. A light is you heard of illumes, right? No, that's light power. And the light, the Holy Spirit brings to light the truth in the Bible, the eternal truth, the eternal relevance of the Bible. That's God. So when you're reading something, you go, I get it. God just touched you. Or you're hearing a message, I get it. God just spoke to you. I understand how this applies to this person. God just spoke to you. And when someone comes up to you and says, I have a problem, and a verse comes to your mind, God just put that there. That's God. That is God. Because let me tell you something. I have been to places and I've read the Bible through many times, the whole thing. And God has put me places and I wasn't in prayer and I had no Bible in my mind. And I had to go speak. I was like, God, I'm scared. You got to tell me. He's like, and he's sitting back saying, sweat, boy, sweat. Speak to me, God. Nope. Tell me a verse, God. Nope. Tell me a story. Nope. Anything, God. Nope. And he would leave me hanging scared until I started walking up onto the stage. He's all right, I'll give you something now. And I start open my mouth. He said, here you go. And I get off. I'm like, I'm sorry, God, I'll never do that again. He said, yeah, you said that last year, okay? And the reason I tell you that, it's not automatic just because you know it. It's not automatic just because you read it, because you studied it, and because you taught it before. It's not automatic. You got to say, God, open up my mind. And let me go backwards one step further about God speaking to you. You got to pray, God, speak to me. Whenever you hear that little voice and something leading you to do something that's biblical, you answer it and do it. And when little Samuel was learning to hear the voice of God, he heard the voice of God three times, went to Eli three times. Eli told him, go back and sleep. And when you hear that voice again, say, Samuel, you say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Whenever you hear God speak to you, get a pen out. This is what they look like. Get a piece of paper. It's like this. Let's pray for a minute. Lord, we pray for that ambulance, that wherever they're going, that you would bless the people driving and the attendants in the back, and that they would help that person they're going to help. In Jesus' name, amen. That you would write it down, that you would record what God's saying to you, and that you would be committed to doing it. Amen? So you got God speaking to you. You got an understanding of the Bible, how to relate the Bible to everything going on in your life. And then look what happens in verse 36. They went down to the road. They came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the Son of God. Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Watch this. Here's Philip. I'm Philip. Here's the eunuch in my hands. He puts the eunuch under the water. He baptizes him. When the eunuch comes out of the water, Philip is gone. You don't believe me? Let me read it. Verse 39, as they came up out of the water, everybody say water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Watch this. You can practice at home when you get home. Caught him out of the water, and the eunuch saw him no more. When the eunuch came out of the water, I'm the eunuch now. I repent. Let me up. I get up. I go, woo. I don't see Philip running. The Bible doesn't say I see him running or swimming away. I was playing in the pool yesterday with my daughters. You know, we're going to get you game. Okay, Dad, we're going to play. We're going to get you. So they chase me and I run. Swim. And they all got fins on and I don't. When you run from somebody in a pool, you ever notice that? You can't really move that fast. You're like, you're doing all this moving around, but you're not moving anywhere. So Philip, unless he was in like 2 inches of water and stuck his head and just ran. No, that's not what happened. The Bible says the Spirit caught him and transferred him. And look what it says. Verse 40. Philip was found at Azotus or Ashdod, 60 miles away. God just said, we're done here. Let me tell you something. People who are on fire for God, being used by God, supernatural placement. Supernatural placement. Supernatural placement. That means wherever you're at, God did it. Your job, God has you there for a reason. I hate my job. I don't know why I'm here. I hate these people. I don't have it. Every day I get up, I'm all depressed. I got to go to work. You know what? With that attitude, you would probably be depressed anywhere. And here's why. Because the devil can make any job bad. You got to say, God has me here. God is humbling me. He's punishing me. He's beating me down. Or God has me here to teach me how to pray and to minister to these people. But you're there for God. If God didn't want you there, you wouldn't be there. If God didn't want you in your class, you wouldn't be there. If God didn't want you lost driving around the wrong neighborhood, you wouldn't be there. You're there. So therefore, grow where God plants you. And when he wants to move you, he'll cut you down like grass and plant you over here. So stop complaining. God put you there. Realize that where you're at, he wants you there for a reason. And look what it says after that. Not only supernatural placement, supernatural endurance. The Bible says in verse 40, Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea, another 60 miles. He went from city to city to city to city, 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 city. He went to everyone. The brother had endurance. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Always abounding. You don't walk with God, then take a break. Walk with God, then take a break. You walk with God, you walk with God, you walk with God, you walk with God until the day comes back. Because let me tell you something. Revelation 3:3, it says, "Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, if you will not be patient and consistent, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." Like that. It's over. Everybody say it with me one time. One, two, three. Just like that. One, two, three, okay? Not five, six, seven. Try one more time. One, two, three. There you go. You're walking down the street. God better find you doing his work. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time you'll reap a harvest of righteousness. Do not grow weary in praying. Do not grow weary in being humble. Do not grow weary in studying your Bible. Amen? The little fire is burning. Put the word in it. Put some prayer in it. Lead in the Holy Spirit. Let God move you around. Be consistent. Let God, when he sees you, know you're going to be there when times get hard. You're going to be there when times get rough. You're going to be there when you don't understand. You're still going to be there. You're not going to run from him. Be dependable to God. Let him know, I can trust. I can depend on him. I can trust her. They'll be there. Whenever I use her mouth, whenever I want her to pray, whenever I want her to encourage, to preach, they'll be there. Be there for God. Don't be a flake for God. Don't be a flake for God. Amen? We're going to take communion. We got a few minutes. We're going to ask all the ushers to come forward very quickly and swiftly. And we're going to hold the bread and the juice. And as they come forward, I want to give you a homework assignment. Get your little your thing out. Stonework out. Your little bulletin and your bulletin stonework. Get that bad boy out real quick. Real quick, here's your homework assignment. Question: what has God done in your life? How has God prepared you for him to use you? How has God prepared you? Your experiences, your education, where you live, your family, your resources. How has God prepared you to do his work? And let me tell you something. The more you pray about that answer question, the more answers you're going to get. Because everything in your life he can use. And you have to see that and value that. What has God done in your life to prepare you for his work? Lord, we pray for this communion and we pray that you bless it and bless our hearts and prepare our hearts to restore and refresh our commitment to you. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
This is a time right now when we're getting the bread and the juice that we prepare our hearts for what we're about to remember. God says, do this in remembrance of me and what he did. Bread representing his body and the juice his blood. But right now is a time to open up your heart, to confess your sins, and to just focus on God's grace and his mercy. And so we're going to sing a few songs, and let's worship the Lord together. Amen. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, you will never let me go. Jesus, you will never let me go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, you'll never let me go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, lover of my soul, you will never let me go. Jesus, you will never let me go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you,
my Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you until the very end.
Jesus, lover of my soul.
Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, you will never let me go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You've set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love and I need. And though my world may fall, you'll never let me go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very
sing, I love you.
I love you, and I need. Though my world may fall, you'll never let me go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
Sing, I love you.
I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, you'll never let me go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
I will worship you.
And I will worship you until the very end.
I will worship you.
And I will worship you until the very end.
Sing Jesus.
Jesus.
Sing it again, Jesus.
Jesus.
Holy and anointed Him.
Holy and anointed one, Jesus.
Sing it again, Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Holy and anointed one, Jesus. You're the risen and exalted one, Jesus. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you, I love you.
Sing Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus, your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
One more time.
Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." You know, especially living in California, people are really into their bodies. I mean, they are worldwide, but here where you could be working out every day, going on the beach, trying to look good, Jesus' body, B-O-D-Y, was beaten and his flesh was ripped off. The Bible says in Romans 12:1 to present your body a living sacrifice. There's other places where it says present your life, but that verse says present your body, your physical body, your emotional, mental, intellectual, physical body God wants. He wants all the desires of your body, the fleshly desires. He wants all that so he can convert it. So when we take this bread, we'll remember it was his physical body that was on that cross, not some mystical representation of his body, but his physical body. Lord, we thank you that you suffered much pain. Your body suffered much pain and trauma. We thank you that you did not stop in the middle and give up, but you endured it to the end. We take this bread and remembering that. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible says, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." I was watching Rescue 911, one of those shows the other day, and it was a special on a hospital in New Orleans. And this woman had internal bleeding. She was throwing up blood. And they had 5 minutes to save her life. And they rushed her into the emergency room, put her under, cut her open, and found out that she had an artery cut in her abdomen. They saved her life. And they showed her throwing up blood. It was just pouring out of her mouth. The whole sheet behind her was all red with blood. But she lived. They saved her. Jesus didn't live. He didn't live. He bled and suffocated in his blood till he died. That's what this represents. And I was watching this. I was like, oh. Jesus died. So when we take this, we have to remember that, you know, he didn't just bleed a little bit and they patched him up. He died. And blood ran all the way down that cross. You know, again, you see these pictures in churches and in books. He's all sleeping. Oh, it's all pretty. It did not look like that. It did not look like that. Lord, we thank you that when we see you, we will see you as you are. And we will remember, man, you really suffered for us. The Bible says that no one would be able to tell whether you were a man, that you were marred beyond recognition, beaten beyond recognition. And your blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sin. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Two things before you go. Be thinking this week, how God has prepared you to minister for him. If any of you in the Cerritos area, Cerritos College, tomorrow night and Tuesday night, the 3rd and the 4th, I'm going to be speaking at a crusade up there. Crystal Lewis, the Supertones, Audio Adrenaline, Jennifer Knapp, the Katinas. Tomorrow night and Tuesday night, it's free at Cerritos College football field. If you have family up there, tell them to go. And they're going to have fireworks both nights. And I've done it for the last 2 years, our third year. We've seen thousands of people get saved. So if any of you are going to be up there or you have family, call them up and tell them to go to Cerritos College. It's called the Freedom Celebration. It's going to be about 15,000 people there each night. And be praying for your family if they're going to come get saved. Amen. Lord, bless us today, this week. May we be servants and may we bring someone next week that they may be saved as we talk about the conversion of the Apostle Paul. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.